Philippians 1, verses 19 through 21. These are God's words. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Now, wouldn't it be marvelous if you could live and die in such a way that you know that every single situation will turn out for your deliverance? Well, the apostle says, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. And then he goes on to say, at the end of the next verse, whether by life or by death. So there are actually two different kinds of deliverance that the apostle is talking about here. One, a deliverance that he receives by life, where God superintends to deliver him from the present life-threatening circumstances and enables him to go on laboring and bearing fruit for God's people and God's glory in God's world. And we'll hear more about his confidence that that's the direction this is going in the next few verses. But if he happens to die, will he not then be delivered from sin and all suffering and be put beyond the reach of even any effect of his persecutors, who we already have seen can do nothing but increase his joy in Christ, who is doing all things for his glory? Will he not be delivered from the body of this death that he bemoans pathetically? In a way that makes you sympathize with him. At the end of Romans chapter 7, will he not be delivered into the presence of his Savior, the Lord Jesus, with whom he is so obsessed? Would it not be a deliverance for him if he died? And so, if for us life is Christ and death is gain, then every single situation must turn out for your deliverance. This is the great neutralizer of all Christian anxiety. And yet, he knows that there are ways that he can respond to the situation that he's in that are ungodly, and ways that he can respond that do trust in Christ and live for Christ and announce in his mind and in his heart and with his desires and what motivates him in his actions and the standard that he follows and the law of God, that all of those things will announce to live as Christ. And that's why especially he says, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that he would live in confidence in Christ and live for the glory of Christ is something that he's battling against his sin to do. We do not passively slouch reflexively into living for the glory of Christ and out of confidence in Christ. These are things that we need the Holy Spirit to act upon, our new nature that he's given us, working the life of Christ in us so that we will live for the glory of God and that we will be confident in God. So he doesn't say, I know this will turn out for my deliverance, so no need to pray for me, and I've got enough of the supply of the Spirit to get me there now. No, he says, I need you to keep praying for me. I need the continual supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ so that I live by faith and I live for God's glory. He is confident that that will happen, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified. That means Christ will be displayed to be great in my body, whether by life or by death. Scripture says nobody who trusts in him, that is, in the Lord, will be put to shame. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so what he wants most of all is to live boldly as someone who lives for the glory of Jesus. And there's nothing that anyone can do to him to keep Christ from being magnified in his body. Because even if he suffers well, even if he is suffers well unto death, Christ will be glorified by the way that he suffered, by the way that he died. If Christ delivers him and he is set free to serve in a new and different place or in another way, Christ will be magnified. And so if it is his aim to magnify Christ, to show that Christ is great by his life, then he can do so boldly without worrying that Christ will somehow not be glorified. Is it possible that Jesus would fail? Is there anything that will happen in this world that will diminish Christ's glory or make it look like he really wasn't worth it after all? Of course not. God forbid. And so if that is what he is living for, and if that is what he is aiming at, then he can be bold in living that way, because he knows that come what may, Christ is mine. Now, some of you know exactly where that phrase comes from, and it really comes from Philippians 1, verses 19 through 21, doesn't it? She says, "For to me to live is Christ. If living comes, Christ is mine. But to die, if living is Christ, can you imagine how great your gain will be at death? Because for us, living is Christ only so far, only so much. We have all that remaining sin that keeps living from being Christ unto us the way it ought to be. We come to the end of every day and we sit on our knees together and we commit ourselves into the Lord's care. And as we reflect over the day, there's so much in every single one of those days where living has not been Christ. And we grieve and we confess and we rejoice in God's forgiveness and we ask him for his help. Once you die, you'll never have that feeling, that thought, that experience, that prayer again. Because in the moment that you die, you'll be made perfect in holiness. And you will live for Christ perfectly. Never have another moment in which we have to confess that we've been cold-hearted towards him and served him half-heartedly and have been dull towards his glory and desired so many other things besides him. We'll never have to confess that again. In the moment that we die, living will be Christ infinitely more than it has ever been, as bogged down as we are by our sin. And in the moment that we desire him, in the moment that we love him and live for his glory perfectly, as we never have before, we'll be ushered immediately into the presence of his glory. And that newly perfected appetite for him will be perfectly satisfied in what Scripture calls the third heaven, where are the holy angels and the assembly of the glorified saints. Yes, living is Christ, and when to live is Christ, life is an unashamedly impossible to be ashamed of going from victory to victory as Christ is magnified in our lives. But if living is Christ, then dying is infinite gain. Of course, if living isn't Christ for you, then death will be the most unimaginable catastrophe. There are so many who live for themselves and live for comfort and live to avoid suffering, live to avoid persecution, live to avoid pain, live to avoid trouble. They don't live for Christ. And they know a little bit of what passes for Christian theology. They comfort themselves by saying, oh, I'll be in heaven soon. I'll go to a better place. I'll rest in peace. But living hasn't been Christ for them, and dying will not be gain for them. Because those who do not live for Christ have no place in heaven, which is a Christ-obsessed place. And the restraining hand of God that has kept their sin at bay will be removed. And they will be wicked towards others and wicked towards themselves and wicked towards God. And God is no less present in hell than he is in heaven. It's impossible. Because God's omnipresence isn't a bigness that expands to fill space. His existence in all places at all times, his essential existence means that he is there in hell in all of his wrath against sin and all of his fury. And when the wicked die, if you die outside of Christ, your sin that you have worked so hard to try and comfort yourself about and excuse will be perfected in the moment that your experience of God's wrath for it is also perfected. It is the same but opposite infinity of loss. So, my dear children, lay hold of God. God the Spirit, stir up your faith that more and more for the rest of this life you would be saying to live as Christ, so that for you to die will be infinite gain. Lest you play act the Christian for some years in this world, while really to live is something else for you. And you find that dying in that case would be an infinite loss. God forbid you be real with God. And may he grant that for you to live would be Christ, and to die would be gain. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the way you upheld Paul in his imprisonment and in the prospect even of possible death, by setting Christ before him so that he would rejoice to magnify Christ in his body, even in those circumstances, and know that one way or another the outcome would be deliverance. And we thank you that you are the same yesterday and today and forever, and that your Spirit is working the same faith in the same Christ in each of us who believe. We pray, Lord, that you would give us great comfort and joy over the knowledge of how infinite is the gain of him for whom to live as Christ. Grant that every single one of us at this table would know what it is to have it be Christ to live, and grant then that we would have it infinite gain when we die. Don't let us live in self-deception, we pray. And to the extent that we are living for other things and are currently sin-riddled state, we pray that you would help us to see what are those things that are competing with our ability to say that it is for us to live as Christ, and help us mortify, put to death, the disproportionate, out of order love and desire for those things. bless to us this portion of your word that we have just been considering. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.